your wife has triplets. Now, somebody comes up to you and explains, tells you your wife has triplets. Is there any way that that piece of information could be transmitted to you in a way that wouldn't be of interest to you? I mean, if they use broken English, bad grammar, if they use sign language, however it was, if your wife had unexpectedly had triplets, I think you'd be interested in the message. And that's a point, I think it's really important. By the way, someone else asked a question, and I don't see the letter here, but it's a really good question, and I want to answer that because I think I have the answer to a question. You know, one of the things I preach and other good marketing people preach is sell to a starving crowd. And the question was, how do you find new starving crowds? I'll tell you the best way I know is to visit a big book stand and look at the magazines. And you're going to find out that there are magazines that you wouldn't even believe. And really, now I want to tell you something about magazines that people don't know it. Like if you're getting mailing lists of magazines, newsstand sold magazine mailing lists are much more valuable than subscription sold mailing lists. Because you might subscribe to a magazine because you got a free, are you there, Mike?
Yeah.
You got a free walkie-talkie with it. Or you might subscribe to a magazine you're still getting 3 years later that you've lost interest. But if you're buying a magazine at the newsstand, you know, that is because you are really interested in it. And, as equally important, you're interested right now. Now, for example, there are several magazines on the subject of watches. Some people are just freaks about watches. A few years ago, there was a magazine phenomena, it's died out now, called Cigar Aficionado. For all of a sudden, people came in heat about smoking cigars and couldn't know enough about them. The things that are kind of surprising, for example, I don't want to insult anybody, but if you go to hotels now, and you watch the television programs, the paid programming, 70% of all paid programming is adult programming. I'll tell you another thing that's kind of interesting that I didn't know. You know hip-hop music, the kind that person hates? Do you know that the sales of hip-hop music is more than all other forms of music combined, more than rock and roll, folk, classical, everything? Hip-hop music sells all of them put together. Here's another kind of thing that's kind of interesting. You know these, I don't even know much about them, but you know these games you play with a joystick on your television or your computer?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that that industry is bigger by far than the entire movie and music industry?
Hmm.
And the way you can find these things out is, you know, any time there becomes a large enough group of people, and I don't think it has to be very large, somebody puts out a magazine about it. And that's a very valuable tip for making money, because you can jump on those magazines, probably advertising in them for chump change, and if they've got a mailing list, you've got a little gold niche that you can go find. Now, before we close, Mike, there is something else that I do want to say, but I want to have all the questions finished first. So if you got more, let me know.
I do. And did you want to finish first, or did you want me to answer some of the questions?
No. I have something to say toward the... Oh, there's one thing I do want to say now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on one or two newsletters that require a lot of research, and those newsletters are about, I am single-handedly going to reduce intellectual theft on the Internet by a double-digit percentage, And I am going to reduce internet theft of my intellectual properties by 100%. And I know exactly how to do that. And I think you'll be happy to know that, probably. And I also am going to I'm going to end what people think they have a free right to say anything they want about anybody on an internet forum. After I write my newsletters, everybody, to be quite frankly, is going to be scared shitless, and rightfully so, to do that. And I want to tell you something. And this is not what I'm wanting to say at the end, but you know, I've always been pretty visible for a long time in the field of direct marketing, but lately my visibility has gone up astronomically. And I couldn't figure it out, because I haven't been putting that many newsletters up or anything. And you know what it is? It's because of the blogs. And I type in Gary Halbert blogs or forums, and like there's 1,000 groups of people out there who are devoted to talking about me. And I've been going on those blogs, and I've learned some amazing stuff about myself. I learned that, I think you know Frank Kern. I don't know him. But someone said I had teamed up with him and written a long, scammy letter with Frank Kern. There's a whole big dialogue in it. I don't even know Frank Kern. I think I met him once at a seminar, but I don't even know him. Also, John Carlton sent me a link I should go to, and this website had a big headline that said, if you're wondering why you haven't heard from Gary Halbert lately, it's because he's in prison.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And then there's another one. There's a big dialogue on this thing about, do you know that I own the website radarpark.com? Now, I have no idea what that site is about. I think it's about some kind of device you put on your car where you back up into something, and if you're about to hit it, it gives you an audio signal. But you should have seen the dialogue between this guy who really owns the site and another guy. He doesn't know me, the guy that owns the site, and he's trying to explain to this other guy that he doesn't know me, and this guy won't give up. And he says, I know this is a Gary Halbert letter. Well, I've never heard of radarpark.com. And then there's something else, Mike. You know, a guy was writing about how I had an idea at 9 o'clock in the morning one time, and I had turned it into $250 million profit by noon. Now, you know how I'm getting old, Mike?
No.
It used to be that every time I got sent to prison or made $250,000 in 3 hours, I would remember it. And now I don't even remember this stuff, you know? And what's funny is almost everything written about me is positive. Some of it's negative. But it's all tortured. It's all convoluted, you know? And Joe Polish one time said, Gary, there's a whole forum about you on Bill Myers' website. Don't you want to go read it? And he couldn't believe I didn't want to go read it. And I said, no. And he said, why? And I said, because these people don't know anything about me. It doesn't matter if they say anything good. You know, people say a lot of great things about me, but you know what? I know this is hard to believe, but I really didn't make $250,000 in 3 hours unless my memory has failed more that I think it had failed, you know? And the guy that said I was in prison, I called him up, and I said, this is Gary Halbert. I'm calling from Miami. And he said, oh, hi, Gary. Good to talk to you. And I said, well, don't you wonder how I'm talking to you since I'm in prison? And he says, oh, yeah. I said, why did you put this on your website in your prison? He said, well, he had bought the franchise rights to some newsletter. And this was a feature article of the newsletter, okay? So I had a little talk with him, and I gave him a picture of what the rest of his life, how it was going to play out. If I went back to his site in 60 minutes, and my name was even mentioned on there, and he was just a young kid, and So I went back an hour later, but it was down. But, you know, I can take almost any kind of slinger insult, but I don't want people saying I'm in prison or, you know, I had sex with a farm animal or something like that, you know, or even that I made $250 million in 3 hours and I didn't. And, and another thing I want to say, because I am researching, so much research is going into this. Because I think, don't you think that's a pretty important endeavor to end intellectual theft on the net and stop slander? You know, as Justice Learned-Hand said, freedom of speech does not give you the right to yell fire in a crowded theater. And I'll tell you another thing. I'll tell you something that most people don't know. I can write a letter to you, Mike, and say any negative thing about you that I want, and there won't be any consequences to me, because I haven't injured you unless you show that letter to somebody else. However, if I write that letter to you and carbon copy three other people on that, you've got me for slander, and you can sue my ass off. The same thing is, a forum is not a private dialogue. You can email me if you don't carbon anything about somebody, if you want to a friend. But if you carbon copy it or you say it on a forum, it better be true. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a point very shortly in time. Anybody that says anything negative about me that's not true, I am going to sue them and ruin their life. Mainly because I want to teach you and everybody else how to do it. Well, in the meantime, since I'm doing that, I thought, I don't want to neglect my readers. And of everything I've ever created that people have thanked me for, it's the Boron letters. And the Boron letters are a collection of letters that I wrote to my son that have been turned into a book. And it's a 181-page book, and I think it sells for $297.
I'm looking at my copy right now, Gary.
Oh, okay. And that book has become a cult favorite. There are guys who keep that book with them wherever they travel in the world. And anyway, I have a strange belief about something. And I'll tell you something. I wrote a health report for men that would improve their health a lot, because I'd learned something about that. And my secretary, Teresa, my trusty assistant for almost 20 years, was crying when she typed that. And I said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "Because there isn't anything like that for women." So I sold it for $197. And I sold a bunch of them. And then I thought, you know, if this is helping so many people, I said, anybody who wants to can reproduce this as long as they don't sell it and use it as a premium or disseminate. If the information is that valuable, anything I create, I have a tendency to give it away. So you can, if you search for the Gary Halbert Health Report, you will find it on the net, and I actually wrote down the address where it is, and I don't have it right now. Caleb, if you can hear me and you can see that you have that address, you could bring it over. But let me tell you what I'm getting at. The Boron letters, I forget how many letters there are, but I'm going to consider each letter a chapter. And starting next Tuesday, if you go to my site, I am going to put up a new chapter every week, free. You can just go to my site, read there, the Boron Letters, Chapter 1. Next week, the Boron Letters, Chapter 2. Next week, the Boron Letters, Chapter 3. And I hope you enjoy them, and I hope you download them. And okay, Caleb doesn't have the address. But if you search around for the Gary Halbert Health Report, somebody will find it, and maybe they can disseminate that address to the rest of your group. And should I say my final thing before I take any more questions?
Well, I'm going to answer just two very quick questions, if I may, Gary.
Okay.
Two people have asked. One person asked, "How do you find a starving crowd on the internet?" And here are some of the tools that I use. First of all, your very, very best tool is the Google search engine. But more specifically, a tool that Google actually offers. A lot of people know about this, but some people don't. It's called the Google Sandbox. If you actually go to Google, I don't have the exact address, but if you go to Google and you type in Google Sandbox, it will give you the page at which this is located. And what you do is you can actually type in keywords, and it will give you a list of not only how many times a particular keyword has been searched, but it will give you variations of that keyword. And that will give you also a good idea of different types of niche markets for that particular category or product. And sometimes the most profitable products are usually the niche market ones, and I'm a big fan of niche marketing. In fact, this is the second tool that I would suggest highly. It is called Niche Finder. And the website that you can actually, I think there's a free demo, but you have to buy the product. It's a software program. It's nichemarketresearch.com, N-I-C-H-E, marketresearch.com.
Get that, Caleb, and look up poker.
Niche Finder, here's what it does. It will scour all the major search engines for keywords. It will give you variations of those keywords. It will give you, in a columnar format, the number of times a specific keyword was searched for, and it will give you a number of how many websites actually cater to that keyword. So the bottom line is you will not only find a supply, but also the demand. You want to find a niche that has some kind of supply, because when there's a keyword that's been searched for a lot, but there's no demand for, there's no supply for it, maybe that's telling you something. Maybe it's because nobody's buying in that particular niche. But if you have a keyword that's been searched for, and you can have keywords like 10, 20, 30,000 times searched in the last, let's say, day or week, and there's, you know, maybe 1,000, 2,000 websites, it will actually give you a really good idea of supply and demand for a specific keyword and a variation, a whole bunch of variations of the keyword. This is a tool I use a lot. It's called Niche Finder. The second question, and this is the last one, is some people are asking, how do you do teleseminars like you do, Michael, with Gary? Well, there are two ways that you can go by this. The first one is if you actually do a teleseminar like the one I'm doing right now with Gary, there is a wonderful lady, her name is Shannon Seek. She's the one who actually takes care of my teleseminars. And her website is rentabridge.com. And you can actually rent a certain amount of lines from very small conferences to very large ones like this one, from, you know, 5 people to 5,000. And you pay for the seminar, of course. But you do is you advertise it, and they have a special code, like you have you pressed yourselves whenever you entered to this particular conference room, and then you have people who are calling in from a host code number, like what Gary and I have done, and then we give the seminar. You also have maybe discussions. If you have very small seminars, I couldn't do it tonight because we're packed with all our lines busy. And I'm actually getting emails right now with people actually begging to get on the call, and they can't get in because all the lines are taken. But you have the ability sometimes to do very smaller teleseminars and the ability to open up the lines and then ask questions and all that stuff. The second way to do this, if you're doing it, and one person actually asked more a specific question as, how do you post it online like you did at your website, Michael? Well, there's a service I highly, highly recommend. One of my best friends in this business, his name is Armin Morin. And Armin has a service called audiogenerator.com. Audiogenerator.com. It's a monthly fee, but here's what it does. You can actually record online with a microphone or call a phone number, a 1-800 number, and you can actually record a small, you know, even testimonials. A lot of people use testimonials under sales letters. That's how it's done. Or a conference like the one that we were doing. and it will encode it and put it on their server, give you a very small snippet of code that you just put on your website, and there you go. What I do, for example, very often is when I do very quick phone calls with people, then they're not large because, you know, some of these calls are really, really large. But if we do a very small phone call, I have it three-wayed with audio generator, or I record the call with the service. Like, for example, a person who's actually recording the call tonight, his name is Michael McCoy, and his website is, actually you can reach him at his email, michael@internetaudioguy.com. He will actually record, like he's doing right now for me. And what I do is I upload this file to audiogenerator.com, and it will give me a snippet of code that automatically gives me the ability to put it on a website very, very easily. And anyway, that's all I wanted to say, Gary, is just because those are questions that I'm getting a lot.
Okay. Well, let me finish up what I want to say. You know, I want to go back to the question of writing for different markets, and I'm telling you there's no difference. And a lot of people talk about, how do you write for a woman's market? How is it different? The writing is no different, but women are really very different creatures from men, and you need as best you can to understand the female market if you're working the female market. But I want to make a couple of observations about the differences between males and females, at least as they pertain to marketing. I think women have had terrible obstacles to overcome living in America compared to men. And it was not long ago where if a woman worked in an office, she would be treated sort of like a toy. You know, the good old boy would be a meeting and the guy would say, "Hey, hon, would you get us all some coffee and sugar?" And then give her a little pat on the behind and send her on her way. And that was very demeaning. And that doesn't happen much anymore. It could cost you $10 million to do that now. And I think that is just because I don't think I don't like to see that kind of injustice or indignity perpetuated on any group of people. But I'm going to tell you one basic difference between men and women, and I'm not trying to be salacious here at all, but I'm trying to make a point. And it's been scientifically validated that men think about sex several times a minute, and women think about sex far less than that. I think most of the women I know think about it about twice a year. But anyway, that's just my story. but anyhow, and I want to tell you something that I think almost everything a man says to a woman, you know, he says, "Oh, you're into knitting? I like knitting too," can be translated as, "I'd like to have sex with you." Or if a man says, "Gee, that's a pretty dress," it can be translated into, "I'd like to have sex with you." And that is, and I was talking to John Carlton, and I said, you know, how bad it must be to be a woman and know that that's true. And I said, I'm going to tell you in a way that you can understand how painful that's got to be. Imagine, and you imagine this, Mike, that you meet a new people in your life, and they're befriending you, and you get interested in them, and in every case you find out what their bottom line is they want you to write a free sales letter for them. You know, I mean, that would begin to jade you, would it not?
Oh, yeah.
And that, I think, happens to women, is that men fake interest in other things, and it's basically a lie, and we're wired that way. Well, I want to make a comment about that because it can go a couple of ways. You know, if you are in the public figure, in the public eye at all, if you're on stage, or if you are a strong personality on teleconferences like this, there's a certain type of women that are attracted to what they perceive as a man with a strong personality or the guy that's on top of the crowd or everything. And I've had that experience at seminars that after I came off the stage that women would be very interested in me, and sometimes in a somewhat salacious way. And what you've always got to remember, if any of you guys are doing seminars or teleseminars, is that is not indicative that you have a lot of sex appeal, because what they're not interested in you. They're interested in something that they believe you represent, which is power and intelligence and humor. And here's the rub with that. What they are seeing you is they're seeing you at your best doing what you do best. And if you end up with a relationship with one of those women, they're going to find out that you're not so good once you're home and they're living with you for a few days. You know, that they're going to find out that maybe you shine when you're standing in front of an audience, you know, selling hardware widgets. But that when you're off that stage, you know, there's a lot of guys that became famous as movie stars. And all the women swoon over them, and they wonder, well, why are they swooning over me now? And when I could walk down Ocean Avenue and nobody would even notice me yesterday. And it's not because of you. It is because of a phenomena of a sort of cachet that excites some women, you know, that's associated with a little bit of fame. And I want to say something about that from the heart, because I'm kind of a good-sized fish in a microscopic pool. And some of that stuff happens to me, and it never goes anywhere. I always shine it on because I know for what it is. I mean, I know I am not really an attractive guy to women. Believe me, women don't come up to me on the street and say, hi, I'd like to get to know you or something. But you have one woman on your site, and I don't know her full name. And apparently she was attracted to how she thought I was. But when I started getting the emails, and they were kind of salacious, I do mind that. And I think every woman on this, listening to this thing, will agree that, you know, it's not so bad. A man isn't just a slime ball when he asks you to go out. But when you say no, no means no. And I don't know what it is with this woman. I don't know who she is. One of her emails, she explained to me that she was trying to deliver a subliminal message that she was a very sexually interested woman. And here's my point. You know, saying things, negative things, or stuff about me in a forum is a thing, but sending me emails because you want to have some kind of relationship with me or an affair with me, and, you know, maybe the first time it's okay, but no means no. For the record, I am very much in love and very, very faithful and monogamous to my girlfriend. I think she's wonderful. And I really think that people do not have the right to send sexually oriented material, even if they're offering what they think something you would be interested to other people. And I would like it to stop. And I'm not going to identify this woman, but I think she'll know who I'm talking about. And I just want to say this. I don't want any more emails from you. I'm not interested in any women except the one I have. I am totally faithful, and no means no. Don't send me any more emails, or I will put some pain in your brain. I'm sorry, but that's it. I mean, I don't want any more of that. You know, and I think that, you know, I welcome banter back and forth between me and other men and me and other women and all of the stuff. But there is a line, and I don't think that line should be crossed. And that ties in with what I'm working on I guess sending someone an email like that couldn't be construed the same thing as intellectual theft or slander because they're sending it only to you. But, you know, I think respect for everybody and dignity should be something that's important. And, you know, some people just demean themselves by their activities, and I hate to see that. You know, these calls and these forums, I'm not making any money from doing this. Mike isn't making any money from doing this. And you know, and some of the other comments, you know, I just shine them on. But they're comments from people, like from guys that, you know, I got one email about a guy bitching about the way Mike asked me questions, you know. Well, they're getting millions of dollars worth of information, and me and Mike stumble for half a second, and this loser doesn't like the way Mike asks me questions, or I stumble for a minute and lose my way and forget to finish a sentence, and they call me on that. And, you know, you need to develop a mindset where you take, you just need to look the good. You know, Ernest Hemingway said something about women that I think should apply to almost everything in life. He said, the best thing I've learned about women, the only thing I've learned, is to remember them on the best day you knew them and forget the rest. And, you know, if there's an author you like, you should remember those good books he read and not dwell on the fact that he turned out he was a drug addict, you know? Just because that's not a factor in your life. And I don't know if I'm making myself clear or not, but,
Yeah, you're making yourself perfectly clear.
Yeah,
that's
Yeah, and I just, I mean, I don't welcome, I'm not interested in sex with anybody besides, you know, the outside my relationship. I don't welcome those kind of comments. I don't think they're funny. I don't think the emails are exciting or anything. I think it's in really bad taste. And I just want to say, no means no. And I don't think anybody else on the call is going to know who I'm talking about. And I don't want them to, but I think the person who's doing this will know what I'm talking about, and I want it to stop. That's my piece.
Gary, I want to thank you so much. You know, besides this, we're ending on a bit of a somber tone, and I appreciate where you're coming from because that is kind of hard to deal with. But I can tell you that in the last 2 hours, you've given so much great information to me anyways. And I do hope that you have taken a lot of notes down because Gary has opened up a massive reservoir of million-dollar ideas and strategies. To me anyways, and I really hope that's the same for you.
Hey, you want to hear something that's kind of funny?
Sure.
Listen, Mark Joyner decided to retire from the Internet business, I guess. And he went and lived for a year in New Zealand. And he came back to the States to do a consulting job for, I think, a guy named Mike Chen or Tommy Chen or something like that.
Mike Chen, yeah.
Mike Chen. And he was staying at the Mandarin Hotel, which is the best hotel, the best five-star hotel in Miami. And, you know, I mean, I can see it looking out my window just about. And so we met over at a place called Bayside, the Latin Cafe, and we got to talking. I had no idea who Mark Joyner was. I just heard his name, you know. Well, it turns out that he is the first real Internet guru, or at least one of them. And he wrote the first ebook, or at least one of them. It was about search engine optimization. I guess it was downloaded over 1 million times. And he and I got to talking, and he was so interested in what I had to say, and I was so interested in what he had to say. You know, it was like a high-tech guy talking to a guy that's as old as a fossil, you know, and he had a satellite linked internet connected BDA, and he's punching as fast as he can as I'm talking into his stylus, and I'm taking notes with a ballpoint pen on napkins and on the back of envelopes and all the rest of this stuff, and I don't know if we'll ever do it, but we thought, I'll bet you if we had a seminar with me and him together, I don't think there's any question on online or offline marketing we couldn't answer. You know, we'd have guys like you there and guys like Carlton there, and I don't know if we'll ever do that, but I think if we do, it'll be funny. But I want to tell you something else funny. I'm working with a guy now, and he is actually a rocket scientist, an honest-to-God rocket scientist. He's an engineer who worked for NASA for 20 years up at Cape Canaveral. And his wife lives in Miami Beach and is a producer for very expensive commercials like Coca-Cola and stuff. So after 20 years, he decided to come down here and get into direct marketing, and he floundered around till he met me, and now we've kind of teamed up. Well, then there's another lady down here that I've written a promotion for. If you ever want to see one of my promotions, go to zapwrinkles.com. That's appearing in newspaper ads all over the place. It's for a great cosmetic cream called Deception. And, well, anyway, but I wrote it for Julie Brublick, and she lives for computers, and she's wired in, you know. And so we end up going to a place called Pink's on Collins Avenue down there. It's a real popular eating spot. This is a couple weeks ago. You know, and there's Julie on her wireless computer because, you know, this is a Wi-Fi hotspot. And there's Mark with his new PDA, you know, that's internet connected, you know, it can bounce signals back from Mars and tell you what the humidity is in Paris, and he's jabbing away on this. And my other friend is on the cell phone, and I said, damn you people, I'm sitting here with four people and I'm alone, you know. they're all sitting there in these wireless places and all this stuff, and you know, I the way the world is going, it's losing. You know what the biggest thing you can buy with your credit card now? Other credit cards. You know, in South Beach, you can buy a parking meter credit card. You can go to public grocery department and use your credit card to buy a parking meter credit card. They got a slot for it. You know, you can buy a credit card instead of giving money at a place for SunPass. I used to go to Kinko's and hand them a bunch of papers and say, make me 10 copies of each of these. And some pretty girl would go make and come back, smile at me, ask me for money, I'd give it to her, go out. You go to Kinko's in Miami now? Oh, for your convenience, you do it yourself now. And so you have to go to a machine and put in your credit card that gives you a Kinko's credit card. Now, that's a learning curve for me. Guys like you would be nothing. That's a learning curve. Then to go over and make a copy, you got to use the credit card in the Kinko copy machine. You got to learn how to do that. And then you have to learn how to work the Kinko copier, you know. And in my own building, I live in kind of a skyscraper building. And now I live in a fairly big apartment, but the small apartments don't have washers and dryers. You can't put money in the washer and dryers. You have to go down to the mailroom, put your credit card in a machine that gives you a credit card that lets you move your that work with your washer and dryer, you know? And I just want to bitch about this. The world is passing me by.
But so anyway, you've proven a great point, because whenever we were talking tonight about people who were the very small amount of people who really didn't get it, and they were bitching and complaining about stuff, even though you might be, I consider you, Gary, as a technophobic kind of guy, and I guess Mark Joyner as a technophile, the fact that you were both eager to learn from each other proves what the students should be doing. Whether, you know, rather than whining and complaining, they should be learning. They should be taking every, you know, finding the one good thing, the one good idea, whether they have to pay for it, whether it's, you know, even a free call.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something else, by God. There should be a law passed that nothing else is allowed to be invented. You know, there was a comedian, a female comedian, years ago said, I'm not going to buy any more music till they promise not to invent anything else, you know. And now they invent, and everything, I was in Circuit City today, and I'm looking at all this stuff, and it's all great, but it all has, you know, I bought a little tape recorder the size of a pack of gum. It was just great. And I opened the manual, and I just went into a homicidal rage. You know what the first thing the manual says? How to set the clock and calendar. I don't want this thing to be a clock and calendar. I just want to tape record stuff on it. You know, I don't want my blender to be a CD player, you know? Anyway, that's just my own personal stuff. But
on that note, we've passed the top of the hour, so I have to close it out. And I want to say, Gary, thank you. Gosh, again, you've over-delivered, and I want to thank everybody who are on this call, too. And please, if you have some comments or any questions, maybe I don't want to have a full, drawn-out question again, like I said at the beginning of this call, but you can send them to me or send them at gary@boostmyresponse.com. I will forward Gary all the good stuff and just keep the bad stuff for myself.
By the way, I did get one question, and the guy said, you know, he'd been a loser all his life. He's not making anything, and he'd been to other gurus, and he found out I was the source. And his just question is, he wanted to know the fastest and easiest way that he could become a multimillionaire or even a billionaire, you know? And I decided I'd defer that question to you.
Well, find the most richest bank around.
Yeah.
Buy yourself a 44 Magnum. At any rate, folks, thank you so much, Gary. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, folks. I hope you found it entertaining and
Use
and substantial. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.